Sean P.
Something wrong with that. It is August 25th, 2024.
Yes, sir.
And we are in the middle of the NFL draft as the consensus number one overall pick was Caleb Williams out of USC.
Was it ever a doubt?
No, it was not. And we're going to go through the top 10 picks. The Bears select Caleb Williams out of USC. Jaden Daniels from LSU goes number 2 to Washington Commanders. Drake May goes 3 to North Carolina. 3 from North Carolina to New England Patriots. The Cardinals select Marvin Harrison Jr. Out of Ohio State. The 5th pick, the Chargers select Joe Alt from Notre Dame, offensive tackle. The Giants, number 6, select Malik Nabers, wide receiver of LSU. Number 7, the Titans select J.C. Latham, offensive tackle from Alabama. Number 8, Michael Penix Jr. The Falcons select him from Washington, quarterback. And number 9, the Bears select Rome Odunze, Washington's wide receiver. And in a trade up, the Minnesota Vikings select J.J. McCarthy, quarterback from Michigan. The two biggest surprises in that top 10 was Michael Penix Jr. going all the way up to number 8.
Yeah.
J.J. McCarthy going to 10. You have 5 quarterbacks selected in the first 10 picks. 6 in the first 15 picks, with Bo Nix going 12 from Oregon to the Denver Broncos. I mean, and also, we don't get a defensive player picked until 15. As Latu from UCLA goes to the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
How do you see the draft so far?
It's going well so far. Actually, seen some really good picks. I mean, some questionable ones. I don't really question the Michael Penix pick because I get it. I get why they did that. Yeah, some people said they should have went defense. But they said, you know what, we think thinking about the future, we'll run it back in the second round. Okay, they did that. Also, the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders picking the tight end, he's a matchup issue. He's a matchup problem. He's great at what he does, but they have so many other needs. I would have thought they would have went for defense. But, you know, that's why they pay the GMs the big bucks. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah, the Penix pick is huge because you have Kirk Cousins, who signs a big contract with Atlanta, coming off a torn Achilles injury.
Yeah,
he's been in the league for so long. This could be most likely his last contract. And you don't know how healthy he is. You have Penix, who also has health issues early in his college career. But he has a great arm, great leadership. I mean, you see how he played in the playoffs. You see how he played in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
Those two games against Oregon. And
didn't have the greatest championship game, but it wasn't like bad.
Right.
So,
so having that insurance policy there for a guy of Penix Jr. stature, I think, is a great fit.
Yep.
The Bears have knocked it out of the park this offseason.
Yeah.
With the additions they done made, the trades they done made, you know, everyone knew they was going to pick Caleb Williams. Then you get Penix Jr.'s teammate, is a number one wide receiver. Odunze. I mean, I think they got another pick in the second round, a couple picks in the second round. So, you know, the Bears, their wide receiver core is going to be amazing with possibly two number one wide receivers with Mike Williams and Odunze. Then, it just came out, the Bears are going to propose a $5 billion stadium at the lakefront with the dome. If that's approved, that could be in place in the next, you know, 4 to 5 seasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's looking great for the Bears so far. They just need to win some games.
Yeah, so far so good. You can't justify a new stadium if you're not winning games, especially $5 billion. They want it on the lake. They want it on the lake front as well. Ooh, dome. That's going to be sweet. Sweet, but they have to get to the playoffs and win some games. Get deep playoff runs, if not a Super Bowl championship. Because that way you can really sell it to people. Like, okay, yeah, look, we're improving exactly. And everything. Not going 2-15 or something like that, you know. Telling them like, hey, we're building the stadium, but we're not building the winner. So
yeah, exactly. And like I said, what the Bears have done in the all season, they completely revamped their offense. From, you know, Justin Fields, who they trade to the Steelers, yeah, with Russell Wilson over there. Mm-hmm. They bring in Mike Williams. They have also the guy they got with the trade from Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, they have three top wide receivers right now. And with Caleb Williams' skill set,
mm-hmm,
the sky's the limit for that team. I mean, I need to see a lot of yards, a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah,
you know, this has to happen for the Bears.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I'm looking forward to checking out. I know a lot of Chicago fans.
Right.
So.
One huge thing, speaking of college, college fans, is Reggie Bush,
mm-hmm,
gets his Heisman Trophy back.
Yeah, that's interesting.
We talked about this, you know, months ago when Johnny Manziel talked about it on Club Shay Shay that he was, mm-hmm, pushing for this.
Yeah.
And it happened. You know, the Heisman Committee, you know, overturns whatever ruling they had against it, and now they're going to give Reggie Bush's Heisman back. Congratulations.
Yes, and you didn't play yourself. You know, he definitely... I didn't believe... people are saying that, yeah, he took the money, he wouldn't have been eligible to play if he found out. That's why he took... And actually, he didn't get it taken from him. He actually gave it back. He gave it back, so it didn't get stripped. Or he gave it back. They gave it back to him, which I believe was a great decision to do because of NIL deals. Now they pretty much, they're like, this is all good. Now we'll just give it back, and he gets all his rights back too. So he gets to be part of the Heisman Committee and things of that nature. Also, I believe this opens up the door for, like, let's say Michigan 5-5, you know, to get their banners back.
Mm-hmm.
And USC possibly get their banners and their wins back from that. So we shall see. I really like the move. I really do. And I asked you this question before. Can you get Kim K back? Can you get Kim Kardashian back?
No.
he got the Heisman back?
He has the Kim K clone. He's going to stick with that.
Oh, he got a clone. Okay.
Yeah, he can stick with the Kim K clone. Okay. No, he ain't getting Kim K back. No. Yeah,
so he got a tight. All
right. Right. With everything going on with the NIL deals, mm-hmm, you have the players now are going to have signed contracts with EA when the NCAA,
mm-hmm,
video games comes back out. You know, they get, you know, a piece of a piece of some money from there, like $600.
Yeah, there's a few players that turned that down, though, didn't
they? Yeah, a couple players turned it down.
Yeah.
You know, I think Arch Manning's one of them that turned it down.
You got some of the NIL money.
Right. You know, you know, $600, what are you going to do with that?
Yeah.
But the thing is, there was one picture that was went viral, and people really brought up Reggie Bush, is when it was a picture of Caleb Williams at his home in LA, like a, I don't know if it was a beachfront, but you could see the water, and he's in this like penthouse, and it looks amazing. This is right after, you know, the playoffs, and right after college football, you know, the season was over, and it was like this guy who lost, and who we had, we criticized Caleb Williams about how he was crying and everything like that. So he was really getting, you know, people were giving it to him online, you know, this picture of him, like, you know, on his phone or something. And if you see the picture, it looks amazing, because it's like this long, like, kitchen and this crazy long window with the, you know, it looked staged, it looked fake, but that's really, I guess, where he lived. You're like, this guy gets all this money, but then you have Reggie Bush, who was trying to help his family, you know, have a house and whatnot, and he can't even get his Heisman back. He can't even, I don't think he was, couldn't even go back to the UFC campus or whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he got kicked out, you know, basically.
Pretty much.
Because of that, because the NCAA rules back then, and everyone was kind of like, oh, he needs his Heisman back. We need to do right by, by Reggie Bush. Stand up guy, you know, didn't never complain about it. I mean, maybe talked about it in interviews or podcasts, or whatnot, but. You know, had a he has a good broadcasting career, a decent NFL career. Yeah, I mean, it's only right.
Yeah, you know? And there's some people that believe that he should have took the Heisman Trophy back and told the Heisman Committee to shove it. Yeah, but that and not even dealt with him. Mm-hmm. And they think he should tell the same thing to USC. Go on with that, because they made him like he was the pariah. Yeah, and Johnny Manziel said in that interview that, you know, Reggie got caught. But he said the college players all around the nation are doing this. Like, they're taking money. Because a lot of guys, he admitted it. He said, most of these guys, they're not like me. Like, where Manziel came from money, a lot of these guys didn't have anything.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, I can get a couple dollars. I can maybe send some home. I can buy something to eat, stuff like that. You know, so I'm glad it's working out for Reggie. I really am.
Yeah. And moving on, before we go to break. Excuse me. NBA playoffs is live right now. And excuse me, we got some scores here. Magic beat the Cavs 121-83. 76ers beat the Knicks 125-114. And the Nuggets and the Lakers are playing. The Lakers are beating the Nuggets 53-46 in the second quarter. It's about to go to halftime. Okay. 76er game. Joel Embiid goes crazy for 50 points. Hits a 50 burger on the Knicks. Five threes. He's 5 for 7 in threes. 50 points. Unbelievable performance. 8 rebounds, 4 assists, 1 block. Is this what needs to happen for him to come back and win?
He's not gonna drop another 50 piece. Not in a row. I mean, I can see him doing it in a later game, but not in a row. They just need to play better. Philly just needs to play better. That's all. Right. And the bench needs to give him more than just 11 points. Even though they won today, bench gotta give you more than that. They gotta give you at least 20, 25 points, something like that. I would like to see that bench give out 30. So we'll see. We'll see next game. Today's Thursday, so next game's on Saturday, right?
Yes.
So we'll see.
And with that being said, we're going to come right back with more Keep 1 Million Show.
Yes, sir.
And we're getting to the NFL draft and NBA playoffs. Now, the last games of the NBA playoffs a couple days ago, you have the Heat beat the Celtics 111-101. Mm-hmm. That series is tied at one. The Thunder beat the Pelicans 124-92. Oklahoma City's up 2-0 in that series. Timberwolves beat the Suns 105-93. Timberwolves are up 2-0 on that series. Pacers beat the Bucks 125-108. That series is tied 1-1. And the Mavericks beat the Celtics 96-93. That game is also tied 1-1. Now going back to the Timberwolves and Suns, it seems like the Timberwolves are just manhandling the Suns, and the Suns have literally no cohesion, you only have this past game, you got some players in double figures, Kevin Durant 18, Nurkic with 10, Beal with 14, Grayson Allen had 3 points, Booker with 20, and Eric Gordon with 15. But on Minnesota, McDaniels with 25, Gobert with 18, Karl-Anthony Towns with 12, Conley with 18, Anthony Edwards with only 15, and off the bench, Alexander had 10. With all those players in double figures and some of your starters not getting 10 points for the Suns, and you see what happened in game one was even worse. I mean, if they lose this series or get swept, because going back to Phoenix, game three, I mean, what do you do? Do you have to blow up this version of the Suns again?
No, I'm not saying they got to blow it up, but they may want to see what Bradley Beal is worth on the trading block, on the trading circuit. They might want to do that just to see, because I believe that you can surround Booker and KD with some great pieces, especially some bench pieces, and do something.
Right. You literally have no bench to, you know, take, you know, off of Durant and Booker, you know, because they're basically carrying this whole team. They play Friday. Phoenix is a 4.5-point favorite. You see them winning Friday.
I see them winning because they have to. KD knows that his legacy is on the line and they don't want to go down 3-0. So I can see them winning. I can actually see KD having a big game. I'm talking about 30 to 35 points. I can see that.
I think he's gonna need more than that. I think he's gonna need 45.
You said he's gonna need like 45.
Ooh. I think he'll need a Joel Embiid type of night.
Okay.
To go against Anthony Edwards, Karl-Anthony Towns, Daniels.
I was thinking 35 from him and like 25
from Book.
You know, I was thinking like that. Like, but hey, if KD has KD given out a 50 piece this year?
I'm not sure. I don't think so. I'm not sure if he got 40.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to look that up.
Who does need to really score a lot is Devin Booker. He's been quiet this whole season as well. Really, the whole team has been, you know, in that 7th seed, 6th seed where they were. And this is not what we thought was going to happen. from the Suns. The Lakers at one point, you're like, okay, they're not going to make it, right?
Yeah.
You know, the Golden State is out of it. You know, they're most likely going to do something, retool. You have, you know, in the Western Conference, these new teams, the Thunder, Minnesota, Dallas, the Clippers may be in the mix. Denver, defending champions.
Even the Rockets, even though they didn't make the playoffs, the Rockets, they're tough too.
Right. Yeah, so this is the last stand for the Suns, the Lakers, Golden State. You know, the old guard, the teams that have been top of the Western Conference for so long. You know, like I said, the Lakers right now is halftime, 53-49 at the half.
Are the Nuggets up for
they're beating the Nuggets 53-49 at halftime. Okay. This is game three in LA. You have Anthony Davis with 16 points, LeBron with 14, Austin Reeves with 10.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Gordon for Denver with 14, Jokic with 11, and Murray with 11. So I think this is going to be another tight game. Remember, the last game went to the buzzer as Murray hit the game winning three over Anthony Davis.
I thought Anthony Davis should have played him a lot tighter than that because I get it. You don't want him to go by you, but if he wouldn't have went by him, it would have been a more difficult shot. Like, because he had to go by him, then he had to set up to shoot it. So I believe if AD would have pressed him a little harder, he might have got a piece of that ball, or just made it. You know, Anthony Davis, is he a legit 7 foot?
He's around there, yeah.
Yeah, so it would have been hard to get over him a little bit. Not saying that, because Jamal Murray's a great player, so he still could have got it up there, but I just felt like that defense that AD was playing was too soft.
Right, and now if the Lakers go down 3-0, it's over. They haven't beat Denver in the past two seasons. They're 0-10, 0-11 against Denver.
Yeah, something like that. It's crazy.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a must-win for the Lakers. My thing is, pose this question with the Suns, I'm going to pose the same question with the Lakers. If they get swept, what do they do? What do you do with the Lakers? Do you trade AD? Do you try to package an Austin Reeves or somebody for somebody else that can, you know, score and facilitate? Do you bring in some kind of point guard or something? That's another question I don't know about.
Nah, you keep LeBron and AD because Bronny's not going pro. And people say, why are you bringing Bronny up? Because that has to do with it. Like, if Bronny
it's
went
a fact.
Pro.
He's not going to go
into the draft or anything. So LeBron is there in Los Angeles with the Lakers. And keep AD had an MVP worthy season. He's not going to get it, but he had an MVP worthy season. Yeah, he had a really good defensive season as well. So no, that's a no go to try to trade him. And then you just got other pieces. Like, you got your D-Lows, you got your Austin Rivers. You just got to figure it out. Because at times this season, when you looked at the Lakers play, you were like, yo, these guys look formidable.
Yes.
It's a lot of people that were saying that maybe they should take that one game so they wouldn't have to play the Nuggets. You know, they go back, play the other playing game, win that, and then play OKC. The OKC Thunder in the first round, which would have been an easier matchup with them. I was one of the ones that said, no, keep the integrity of your game. Don't do that. But I did think about it. Like, man, I couldn't blame them if they would have did that. It just would have been rolling the dice, though, because there's no giving that you would have won your next playing game. But Denver's just a bad matchup for them. It was a bad matchup for anybody, but it's a bad matchup for the Lakers. It's really bad.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, for the Lakers moving forward, if they lose, they get swept, they're gonna have to blow it up.
And leave the coach alone, man. It's not let Darvin Ham keep his job. I can't stand when they do that. It's like, oh, we gotta get rid of him. Like, get rid of him. Like, come on, y'all.
The Chiefs. This is live. The Chiefs just picked Xavier Worthy out of Texas, wide receiver.
Okay.
He ran the fastest 40 ever, 4.21.
4.21, okay.
They just basically got Tyreek Hill 2.0. If he can catch, he's out of Texas. He was a great wide receiver.
Yeah.
That's scary. They just won the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
They traded up to number 28. Guess who they traded with?
Who?
Buffalo.
Mm-hmm. Let's see what the Buffalo.
Why would the Bills trade out of that pick and you just gave up your number one wide receiver? You need a wide receiver. Why would you trade out of that? Is there someone better? So you go all the way down to 32. Is there someone better than this guy at wide receiver, or are you just not going to get a wide receiver?
Who knows? We'll see. Because they did just let Stephon Diggs go.
They traded him. Yes.
They traded him. So I'm interested to see what they're going to do. However, this pick with Kinsett, man. If this guy can run routes. Because it's one thing to be able to catch
exactly.
And be fast, but running routes, that's a whole nother thing. Because I'm a nerd with this. I like when I watch wide receivers. I love the ones who run real good, clean, precise routes.
Route trees.
One of them was, say what you want about him, if you will, but Antonio Brown, AB, great route runner. This guy was really good with his routes. So him and And a host of others that were real good route runners. If you want to go way back in the day, you could say Jerry Rice, things of that nature. I truly enjoy watching the good route runners.
And one major stat about this draft. This is the first draft since 1983
mm-hmm.
that six quarterbacks have mm-hmm. been picked in the first round. If you know anything about football, you know about that 1983
draft. Yeah. Crazy
I
class.
I can't compare this to the 1983. We won't know until probably 5 years from now.
Not even, you won't know until about 20 years from now because you go back and look at it.
That draft is possibly the greatest draft class of all time.
This is how great.
With like five or six Hall of Famers, Super Bowl champions.
This is how great that draft class was, that first round. Because people don't realize this, that John Elway came out in that, Dan Marino,
yes.
Ken O'Brien with the Jets. Mm-hmm. He wasn't a Dan Marino or anything like that, but he was a really good quarterback. The last pick in that first round, can you guess who it was? I give you a hint, he's a Hall of Famer.
There's a lot of them in that.
Yeah.
Draft. Not Jerry Rice.
Mm-mm.
He didn't come out. He came out earlier.
I think Jerry Rice came out after 83.
Or 84. Right?
Yeah.
No, I don't. I can't think.
Darryl Green.
Wow.
Darryl Green. He was last pick in that first round.
Wow.
In that first round. And Hall of Fame cornerback. Played for years, too. He played for years. Played for Washington for years.
Wow.
They consider him one of the greatest corners ever. So.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly. If this kid, Xavier Worthy, if he can catch the ball, mm-hmm. we know Patrick Mahomes can throw it downfield.
Mm-hmm.
Having Tyreek Hill, having the players that they have, you know, to get to the Super Bowl, to win the Super Bowl, win multiple Super Bowls. The rich get richer. It's amazing. It's crazy. And one more thing, last thing about the draft is the fact that the Cowboys go all the way back to 29
mm-hmm.
and they get an Oklahoma offensive lineman, Tyler Guyton.
Okay.
They need offensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to poo-poo it, but hopefully they got more picks because they traded all the way down to 29 in the first round. This is their only pick in the first round. They better have more picks, not just this year, but next year, because this is probably the worst offseason I've seen the Cowboys ever have.
Hmm. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Whatever they did, which is absolutely nothing. I think they got another offensive lineman who probably won't start.
Mm-hmm.
This offensive lineman better be good enough to start.
Yeah, because they didn't do anything in free agency, right?
No, no free agency, no trades.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, they re-signed a couple players. They grabbed a player, one offensive lineman. That was it. That's all they did. And now all they do is grab an offensive lineman right now in the first round. Like I said, for them to trade down, hopefully they get at least two more picks in this draft and possibly another pick in next year's draft. Because when your owner, you know, your CEO says we're going to go all in and be aggressive in the offseason, as Jerry Jones did say, documented, videotaped, audio, everything. He's been saying that on the podcast or radio shows he's on, that and to do the exact opposite is utterly amazing. Being a Giants fan, I'm laughing, but at the same time, I'm looking at it like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah, me being an Eagles fan, I'm like,
this fan base has always talked about next year, next year, next year, next year. We're almost there. We're going to the playoffs. We're you know, every time that
they always say we're going to win the Super Bowl.
We're going to win the Super Bowl. You know, we're going to get to the NFC Championship game. They haven't even been to the NFC Championship game.
Since I was in high school.
Since the 90s. Right.
Actually, I was in the early years of college. No, I was. That's when they beat the Steelers. They beat the Steelers in the Super Bowl.
And for now to say you're all in, and basically the offense, and basically in this offseason, only grab two offensive linemen, when you have teams in your own division getting new quarterbacks, new defensive ends, new cornerbacks. I mean, revamped offenses, revamped defenses, setting teams up to win for the next 5 to 7 to 10 years. And the Cowboys are stuck at neutral. I mean, look what the Eagles done in the past 2 seasons. Washington's got a brand new quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
The Giants are in transition. He's got a top wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
What is Dallas doing?
Who knows? But like you just said, I'm just sitting back and reveling because I'm an Eagles fan, and I'm like, okay, you know, well, we just in our division, so we just gotta worry about the Giants pretty much. It's like, so we'll see. But here's the crazy thing: they're still a playoff team. They are still that. And last year I was dumbfounded when they lost to Green Bay. I was like, wow.
Right.
I'm like, okay. We shall see, because I tell my son when he plays flag football, you never underestimate anybody. So we shall see.
And we're gonna go to break. We're gonna come right back and get into Ryan Garcia, Devin Haney fight, and the debacle that came with it. And also the next fights talking about for the next few months is going to be a great boxing season. Keep it locked right here. It's the Keep It 1 Million Show.
Yes, sir.
This is the Keep It 1 Million Show. I'm Dwayne.
Sean Pete.
And we are live talking the NFL draft, and like I said, the Chiefs made a huge move, moving up to 28, picking Xavier Worthy out of Texas, the wide receiver. San Francisco's next at 31, and the Bills are the last pick of the first round at 32. With the Bills, I would have to see who is the next available, best available. If it's a wide receiver, they're going to have to get him immediately. And the next best available player is Cooper DeSean.
Okay.
Out of Iowa. He's a cornerback.
The Buckeye. He's a corner? Okay.
He's a cornerback. The next players, defensive tackle, another quarterback, and Xavier Leggetti from South Carolina is your next wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
And then Donnie Mitchell out of Texas is a wide receiver after that. Ladd McConkley out of Georgia. Ricky Purcell out of Florida. Keon Coleman out of Florida State. I mean, these are players that the Bills desperately need. They need a wide receiver. And I'm not sure why they didn't grab one or didn't stay there, unless they know something we don't know. Hopefully they do, because if they don't, New England's coming, the Jets are coming, and definitely Miami is on it right now to win that division.
Yeah.
I mean, that's basically their rival right now is Miami.
Mm-hmm.
For that division, AFC East, you know, it's going to take some years for the New England to get back to prominence.
Yeah.
The Jets, with the pieces they have, they want to overtake the AFC East. We'll see what happens if Aaron Rodgers plays a full season. So, moving on to boxing, where Ryan Garcia scores a unanimous decision victory over Devin Haney this past weekend in Madison Square Garden. Because if he was 3 pounds over, he doesn't get championship belt. He lost $600,000. But was that to his advantage?
Well, he bet on himself. He bet on himself and won, what, $12 million?
Yeah, he put $2 million down, won $12 million because he was a massive underdog.
Yeah.
Right.
Then he, so he had to pay Haney $1.5 million for weighing over. Then he had to pay another $600,000. So that's pretty much $2 million. So it was $2 million over.
$2 million that he bet. He just gave that to Devin Haney.
Yeah, and
he won $12 million.
So you can minus two off of that. He won $10 million.
Right.
So he. It's really like who
you want $10 million plus the purse.
Yeah, Ice Cube say back in the day, who's the Mac? Who's the Mac right now? So, I mean, a lot of people didn't like the way he went about it by way he having that huge advantage, but he didn't have any stipulation in the contracts, you know, about the way because they said Haney could have said, no, I'm not going to fight the fight. Diego Corrales did that years ago against Castillo, but in third fight, he said, I'm not going to fight the fight. He couldn't weigh in because you got to remember a lot of these guys, they hydrate back up. Like they'll weigh in at 140 and they hydrate up to 160.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of people don't realize that.
Yeah, and that is a huge thing when it comes to Ryan Garcia and his weight is the fact that when he lost to. Was it Tank Davis? He lost mainly because he couldn't rehydrate.
Yeah.
He was uncomfortable at that size. This one, he could rehydrate, so he was a lot bigger and stronger than Devin Haney.
Yeah.
The thing is, you know, at 140, he's not going to be able to stay at 140, so he didn't want the belt. He's not going to stay there. So he's going to go have to go up to 147 or even higher than that. Which you have the real big hitters right there, the Charlos of the world, the Alvarezes, the Crawfords, whatnot.
No, he don't want that.
Maybe he does, because it seems like how he beat down Devin Haney, he has the power to go toe-to-toe with some of these fighters.
Yeah, but those are boys that fight at, well, Crawford fighting at 147, but he coming in there. Yeah, exactly. I mean,
the question is, what will be his next fight? Because who would want to go up to fight him? They would probably wouldn't make him come down to fight him at 140 or 135, which is Stevenson, maybe rematch with Tank, maybe someone else, and that maybe someone in the 147 division.
So you got Shakur Stevenson, you got Tank, and then you have Teofimo Lopez, and you also have Lomachenko. So you could say, okay, we could fight at 147 or catchweight, because you know Steve's a smaller. Or we could meet at a catchweight, which would be like 142 and 145. You know, you can meet there. Those are four fights that he could have without even going to the Charlos or Crawfords or anything like that. Four fights that'll bring in money, because I just named four men.
Right.
Four men that got names. So he can get that money and fight a good. Good champion or former champion.
Be honest with you, him fighting Lomachenko may be a great fight for him. There is tape on him versus, you know, Lomo versus Devin Haney, where you thought Lomo beat Haney.
Yeah, a lot of people did. I thought Haney did enough.
Yeah, I think that's something that maybe Ryan Garcia's team should look at, is fighting Lomachenko. He may not, you know, Loma may be on his way out as far as retiring.
Yeah, he's on his way out. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah. But the thing is, that maybe his last fight would be Ryan Garcia or, you know, whatever. But I think that's a good fight for him.
Oh, and they could also rematch to Lopez. Garcia and Haney could rematch if they went that route.
Right. I just have to break in with this, with the draft, real quick.
Oh, go ahead.
I'm kind of mind-boggled by this. So, the 31st pick, San Francisco picks Ricky Purcell out of Florida, wide receiver.
Okay.
Great wide receiver. He can catch. I mean, he had one of the best one-handed catches in the season. But then at 32, like I said, remember I said the Bills were at 32?
Yep.
They just traded out of that pick and gave it to Carolina Panthers. So okay. Now Carolina has that pick. What the hell are the Bills doing?
So they didn't pick anybody in the first round?
No. So you're saying the players that you have value are most best at the second round. You better have five extra picks, or at least 3 to 5 extra picks, because I'm scratching my head. Two second-tier wide receivers go to Kansas City, which is your rival, and San Francisco, who just was in the Super Bowl. And there's rumors that Brandon Ayuk or Deebo Samuel could be on a trade block. Maybe they're trying to make a deal with San Fran for one of those players, but I don't know.
Maybe.
Don't know why you trade out of the first round. That is the strangest thing I've seen. I mean, the Cowboys making these weird moves. And now the Bills trading out of the first round completely is mind-boggling. Let me get back on track. Because I'm kind of weird. This is weird. It's very weird. So, Devin Haney, what does he need to do? Because you have him losing this bad. You have his dad, Bill Haney, going on this, like, weird beef tour, beefing with Mayweather, beefing with other people, beefing with analysts. You said he was arguing with the analysts at the press conference.
No, that was Garcia's dad.
Oh, Garcia's dad was. Probably like, yeah, you count him out, obviously. But Bill Haney was going crazy, having issues with Mayweather. They was on live together going at each other. What's next for Devin Haney? Because he does have the belts.
Yeah.
He has this one loss. Now he can get that away, get that out. I mean, does he have to go all the way back to the drawing board? What does he have to do?
Yeah, I go to, back to the drawing board because Brian Garcia gave you the blueprint of how to beat him. So he has to figure something out. One of the things I like about fighters is the mark of a fighter. Like after your first loss or after a bad loss, how do you rebound? One of the best rebounds was Arturo Gatti. He used to lose a fight and then he would run off. He would run off a 5-win streak type thing.
Yep.
So you got fighters like that. Like can Haney do that? Who's there for Haney? We just mentioned Lomachenko. We can get a rematch with him. Rematch with Lomachenko. I can't think of anybody else that. Oh, rematch with Garcia could be there for Haney. So there's things there, but he just needs to retool back up and figure it out.
Yeah, one last thing about the NFL draft. The Panthers select the wide receiver, South Carolina Xavier Leggett. I just talked about what was the best wide receiver is left in the draft.
Yeah,
and the first two I talked about, go in 31 and 32, were the Bills to trade out of.
So I'm guessing they're trying to pick somebody up in free agency, like
Ayuk
or
trade in the second tomorrow.
You say Ayuk and who else?
Debo Samuel.
Oh, Debo Samuel. Yeah, okay.
They said could be on the trading block.
Okay.
That's rumors. You know what I mean? So, I know Ayuk wants a new contract. So
yeah, and he's been talking. There's been rumors about him talking like. People thought about the Steelers.
Yeah.
So that actually wouldn't be bad for the Steelers right there.
Right.
You know, also, T Higgins or Tyler Boyd, I think it was one of those guys with Cincinnati. So
mm-hmm.
so maybe Buffalo is doing something like on that level. We don't know.
Right. We'll find out.
Yep.
In day two of the NFL draft, the first round is over.
Okay.
But before we go, I'm going to give you the top fights in the next few months, all by the top 10 pound-for-pound fighters.
Okay.
Terrence Crawford, number one, welterweight undisputed champion, 40-0. He's fighting August 3rd against Israel Makhachev.
Mm-hmm.
Can't say his name. He's 26-0 junior featherweight champion, number two ranked pound for pound. May 6th, he fights Lewis Neary.
Okay.
Uzlander Usyk, number three pound for pound, 21-0 heavyweight champion. He fights May 18th against Tyson Fury.
I'm looking forward to that one.
Huge fight there. Canelo Alvarez, number four ranked, he's 62-2, super middleweight, undisputed champion. He's fighting May 4th, that Cinco de Mayo weekend, as usual, against Jaime Muguina. Dmitry Bivol, number five, 22-0, 11 knockouts, light heavyweight champion. He's fighting Arthur Beterbiev, June 1st. And number six is Arthur Beterbiev. So 6 and 7 is fighting each other on June 1st. Javonte David, Tank David, 29-0, 27 knockouts, lightweight. He's not a champion. He's going against Frank Martin June 15th. I would say the winner of that will most likely fight for the light heavyweight championship. So right behind him, number eight, Shakur Stevenson. Light heavyweight champion. He will fight July 6th against Artem Horatsman. Don't know how to say this guy's last name. It's crazy. I would say the winner of those two fights will probably fight each other for the light heavyweight championship. So I'm looking forward to Shakur Stevens, Devontae David fight. Number 9, Tyson Fury. Like I said, he's fighting Usyk May 18th. And last, number 10, Jesse Bam Rodriguez, 19-0, 12 knockouts, flyweight champion, is fighting Juan Francisco Estrada June 29th.
Yeah, I'm interested in that one.
So, from May to August,
mm-hmm.
the top pound for pound fighters are going to be fighting.
Yes, indeed.
So boxing fans cannot complain.
Not at all. It's some good matchups.
Boxing fans, sorry about that. Boxing fans cannot complain about there's no big fights. There will be a big fight every month.
Until what, November?
May, June, July, August. Multiple fights because of Saudi Arabia's fight cards are major. There's going to be other major fight cards. Days In with Canelo Alvarez, those undercards are going to be major. You know, that Benavidez-Bivol fight, you know, that's going to be amazing. I'm here for it. And I would think in December, November, December is going to be a bunch of big fights as well.
Yeah, more than likely, yeah.
So get your popcorn ready. And with that being said, I'm Dwayne.
Sean P.
This has been the Keep 1 Million Show. We are here every Thursday night, 7 to 9 p.m. on KRDP 90.7 FM, a publication of Desert Soul Media. Thanks everybody for listening, watching.